Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Scotty, we will press on. Here we go. We will press on or we will go to the break. Looks like we're going to press on, Scotty. We'll start. Ravens and the Texans in Baltimore. Another rookie quarterback who is going to get the start, and that is going to be C.J. Stroud. But Baltimore, a very tough place to play, including because Lamar Jackson is back. He's excited, Scotty, because it's been a long time since Lamar Jackson's gotten to be on the field. Here he is.
I'll say I'm a little bit anxious, but, you know, Coach Harbaugh said to me, you know, don't peak too soon, so I'm trying not to peak too soon. I was lifting earlier with Coach Scott, and I tell him, like, I feel like I'm ready, like, because I was running around and walked through earlier, too. So I'm just pumped, to be honest. I'm pumped. I can't wait to get out there.
Why do you think you're a little more anxious?
I haven't played since December. Like November, one of them. It's a long time. That's a long time. That's a long time. So I'm just pumped. I'm ready to get out there on the field.
I got to tell you, for a guy that I hate, I really like him. I'm a Steeler fan, so I have to hate Lamar Jackson. And he's a nightmare for me. I have bad nights sleeping thinking about him. But I just think he's such a great dude. I just think he's such a great player, quarterback, personality, person. He's always affable and cool. I think he's just a badass. I sure wish I didn't have to hate him as much as I do. Really, I'm being honest.
It's a shame he plays for the Ravens. Like, I wish he played. I'm with you. I wish he played for someone else because I can't stand the Ravens. But he does seem like a really cool dude to root for. This actually, we've just had movement this afternoon, Scotty. This has gone from 10 to 9.5. 9.5 now and 43.5 the total.
Yeah, we welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Byline, their radio affiliates. Everyone, good to have you with us on a pain-free Friday, coast to coast. I'm Pharrell with Carver High in New York City. I'm on the Ravens to win this game. I am very leery laying 9.5, 10 points in any NFL game, particularly opening day, where craziness is automatic. Remember we said before, nothing's automatic in the NFL in terms of games. I stand by that. But as far as automatic, the only thing I know that's automatic is opening day is crazy. Craziness happens on opening day every year. It's inexplicable. You can't even make this stuff up. I guarantee you Sunday will be absolute category 5 hurricane crazy. Everything's whatever you think's going to happen on Sunday, the exact opposite will happen.
No question, especially with big spreads and dogs, which you have in that game between the Texans and the Ravens.
They next score we'll once, to... and you're not covering.
Yeah. We now go to Minnesota, where Tampa will start their year against the Vikings, Scotty. One of the other slightly larger spreads of the week, almost at a touchdown. It's actually gone down a little, as I'll tell you in a moment. But Baker Mayfield is the starter for the Bucs as he heads into Minneapolis. He wants that Tampa to get off to a fast start.
The real thing's finally here, so we're ready to finally go out and play somebody else for real and just see all the things that we've been working on. See how it comes to life, all the little details, all the off-season workouts, the foundational stuff that we've been trying to get installed, and just to see how it plays out and just to see how guys handle it throughout the game. It's football. It's the highest level you can play at, so there's going to be ebbs and flows, ups and downs during the game. And so we're built to handle that adversity, and so I'm excited to see how we do.
Yeah, like, we've been down this road, haven't we, with this guy?
I know,
he is
but
still
I can't let him go.
Selling you, he's still selling you a bag of goods. He talks about how, we just want to see how the ebbs and flows, and this, I'm at the highest level and everything else. We've already seen him fail, and we've seen him have some relative success, but nobody wanted him to be playing with the Rams. They had to play him, right? Now they got him in Tampa, and he's kind of like, They weren't even going to give him the starting gig when he got the job. They're like, it's an open competition. I knew he'd get the job because I think their quarterback room is awful. I think the Vikings beat them easily.
It's gone from 6 to 5.5 now. 46 is the total. I got a problem, Scotty. I can't quit Baker. Like, I just still, I'm giving him another chance. And the Vikings, I think, win this game. Every week was life and death with them. Like, every week was down to the end, a close game. They won pretty much all of them. But 5.5 or 6 in this spot, I am going to take my chances with Baker here in Minnesota on Sunday. I'm going to roll with the dog. They have that deadline tomorrow for Mike Evans. There's been no deal there yet. Bucks say they don't want to trade him if they don't reach a deal with him by tomorrow. We'll see how that changes when they're 2-7 at the end of October. We'll see if they still don't want to trade him at that point. And Justin Jefferson wants a new deal with the Vikings. He says it's all up to them. Pay me the money, Justin Jefferson. Now, that's a guy, Scotty, who should get paid. Justin Jefferson. That guy's no joke. That's a guy that you don't mess around with. You just give him whatever he wants.
Well, let's remember how things went with your boy up in Buffalo when he was in Minnesota. Yeah. So they've been known to mess with receivers before. I have to tell you, again, I'm going to say it. The Vikings organization, to me, has been a joke. It's been a joke. I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, back when I was a kid, they went to 4 straight Super Bowls and lost all of them. And now I'm 58, and they haven't sniffed a Super Bowl. And they have, the longest, you know, you talk about Dallas being bad in the postseason. I think the Vikings in the NFL, if you really look at what they've done, it's been a disaster. It really has. Last year, you win 13 games all by the skin of your teeth, and then you go into playoffs and get absolutely whacked by the Giants. The way they handle their business, I'm not going to be surprised at all if they screw up Justin Jefferson's deal. Honestly, I think they're a joke.
Wouldn't surprise me either. Would not surprise me either if that happened. The Saints, as you mentioned earlier, are the favorites in the NFC South. Why? They have Derek Carr now coming over from the Raiders. Here's another guy. He pumps you up, Scott. He really gets you going when he speaks. Here's Carr on his first game with New Orleans. They play Tennessee Sunday.
Yeah, I'm just ready to play. To the guys today.
Wear caps and sleeves.
We had a bonus Monday. Here's another Wednesday practice, all these things. And it's week one, and it finally feels like this is what all the work was for. You can feel like a sense of urgency, but you can feel a sense of peace too, that it's that calmness before it really gets going, that
is
we know the level of expectation we have for each other, we know the level of expectation we have personally, and you can feel that in every guy when you walk through. Everyone's confident, but there is that urgency that everyone's coming to work with, and it's exciting because you can feel like everyone's ready to just cut it loose and let it go.
Right there, what just happened to us? Everything was going well. I've had the power go out a couple times. I didn't let that faze me. We've had this, we've had that. We've heard from all these guys. Even Baker Mayfield didn't upset me. But that was really, that reminded me of going to Catholic church. I mean, it was that bad.
That's exactly.
That was really boring. Thanks so much, bro.
That is the presence that he gives you, Derek Carr. It's 3. It's 41.5. I'm on the Titans. In the Dome on Sunday. Let's go.
I'm on them now, too, because of that interview I just listened to.
There you go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always fun to go out to San Diego, Cali, where I just was for multiple days of surfing, and to enter the young gun into San Diego State University for his freshman year. He's got his eyes out. He already told me he's been peering around the corner looking for Dr. Zhivago for all of his injury updates from Sports Injury Central. And you know what happens. You go to SICScore.com and you get the skinny, too. You can follow him at ProFootballDoc on social media and X. My man, Dr. David Chow, is back again. The longtime NFL doctor for the Chargers is back in the saddle on Coast to Coast every Friday. All right, Dr. Shivago, let's start with Kelsey. You hit it on the head. You knew he wasn't going to be able to go. Now the question begs, will he be able to go in 9 days in Jacksonville when the Chiefs try to avoid going 0-2 against a tough Jag team?
Well, that's a good question, but first I got to check my phone. There must be something wrong. You were in San Diego and I didn't get a text? Come on, Scott.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it. Next time I won't screw it up.
All good. Yeah, look, we said all along there's not any true game time decisions don't really happen in the NFL. In my 17 years in the NFL, we always knew whether a guy was playing or not playing. Maybe we check to make sure that he's not playing or check to make sure that he is playing, but we know ahead of time. And that's why we said Travis Kelce is not playing. And he wasn't close, right? They put him in a pool for the workout, not on a football field in the morning, and he didn't pass that. And with that and the fact that bone bruises don't heal in days, they heal in weeks, it puts week two, 10 days from Thursday, in question. Yeah, it's about 2 weeks. It's possible he can play, but far from a guarantee at this point in time. And, of course, they need to play the long game. They can't make this injury worse and then lose Travis Kelce for the season.
Doc, let's talk about the specifics of a bone bruise and a hyperextended knee.
Well, the thing is, the bone bruise is not like someone punched him in the knee. It's when the knee hyperextended, it jammed the ends of the bones together. And so that's like the cartilage on top gets jammed and the bone underneath gets compressed. It's like an elephant stomping on a football field. Does the grass on top die out? Does the dirt get compacted a little bit? Technically, it's a microscopic fracture that you just have to be careful with and not make it get worse. A good sign is that Kelce was not on crutches. He was walking in on the sidelines, but that's a far cry from running and jumping in football. And the Chiefs' good medical staff will do the right thing. They don't want to turn this couple-week injury into a season-long deal. That's why next week, I think, is still iffy, questionable at this point in time.
Who was the player that was giving you the business and then you gave it back to him because you knew with your expertise, who was the player that was giving you the business?
Well, last year it was J.K. Dobbins, but this year was Jalen Ramsey. Last year, J.K. Dobbins gave me the business, and yeah, unfortunately, we were right on his futures. Like, it was heroic for him to come back from that multi-ligament knee injury. Same thing with Jalen Ramsey. Look, Kadarius Toney had knee surgery early this preseason. Didn't look that good, but that was a meniscus trim. Jalen Ramsey is a meniscus repair. Even the great Adrian Peterson, who has the, quote, record for the quickest ACL recovery, didn't really come back that year. He had a meniscus repair. And it's harder to play cornerback than running back when you have to react. So I wasn't giving Jalen Ramsey a hard time. I was saying, look, yeah, I haven't seen his MRI. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying it's expecting a lot to expect him to be the great Jalen Ramsey in November or December. He may not even make it back this year. And we had a nice interchange back and forth.
Well, look, you're a genius in medicine and in surgeries and in the body, and he plays football. So thanks so much. Stay out of it, kid. Anyway, let me say this. The meniscus trim. How much did that affect the nerve endings in Tony's hands last night when he dropped 50 passes?
Well, the hand bone's not connected to the knee bone, but obviously, reps and timing and everything else obviously was not there.
It must have been some other trim that was causing me problems. Any injury worries with players like Bosa or Burns coming onto the field at the last second? Burns has been practicing, but wants more money. Bosa didn't practice and got all the money in the world, and now he's going to go after Pickett and the Steelers on Sunday. Any worries there?
Potential worry, and here's the thing. It's about acclimation to football, and you cannot mimic football activities fully, no matter how hard you train. So I'm not saying either guy's out of shape. But, look at the number of hamstring injuries we have and the calf injuries in Joe Burrow and the quad injuries in Mark Andrews. These are acclimation injuries. And if you get them in week one of training camp, you got a chance to play. Well, this is week one of Nick Bosa's training camp and Burns, et cetera. So we'll have to see. And we'll see. Maybe they'll be on a pitch count so they don't get fatigued and get a muscle injury. But in my experience, the pitch counts or play counts go out the window once the ball is snapped. You can tell the coach all you want, let's not overuse him. But once the game gets into the flow, it's up to the player and the coach.
So Bo Smith's in trouble with the Cowboys up front. Will they be able to go or not?
Yeah, you know, Tyrone Smith at Sports Injury Central on our field views, we have him graded low because he's just had a lot of chronic issues. Tyler Smith obviously popped up on the injury report, so that's the left tackle, left guard. And even though Terrence Steele got a big contract, that was an ACL, MCL. I'm not sure he's 100% yet. So we're going to have a downgrade for the Cowboys on their run protection and run blocking and pass protection for them.
So you have your doubts about Smith and Jigba's status with Seattle.
Well, you know, Pete Carroll's always very optimistic. He says he's going to play, right? And he may play, but it's a scaphoid fracture, and it's not healed yet. Yes, there's a screw in it, which means there's going to be a splint across his thumb and wrist, which will affect his catching. Now, maybe he can still catch some certain balls, but not every ball. But what about blocking? What about ball security? I mean, is he really going to carry the ball on the inside hand, on his left hand, as he runs down the right sideline? You're inviting a problem in a situation. Even if he plays, we don't have full expectations on production.
What about Walker? He's got a groin pop.
There's no question. Look, Kenneth Walker's off the injury report. JSN is off the injury report. They're slated to play. But I don't see Kenneth Walker on a groin getting 20 carries out of the backfield, making the groin injury worse. They both are on track to play, but I think limited usage.
What about Terry McLaurin? He's been practicing. Is he all right?
Terry McLaurin is officially off the injury report, but off the injury report just means they're going to play. It doesn't mean they're at 100%. The last video I saw of Terry McLaurin, he still couldn't push off on a one-step cut to the left, and that means part of his route tree is gone. So can you really expect a normal Terry McLaurin? The answer is no. It certainly looks like he is going to play.
Mark Andrews and OBJ both had situations this week, limited in practice. Are they going to be able to go in the Charm City?
Well, I've actually been high on OBJ this season. Yes, it's the second ACL, but the second ACL was almost 2 years ago. You know, it was Super Bowl, two Super Bowls ago. So the ankle sprain, I hope, is minor and should be able to go. Mark Andrews' quad issue was early in training camp, so hopefully he's recovered enough to go. But the question is, can he get off the line of scrimmage?
What about Adam Thielen and DJ Chark in Carolina? They were limited yesterday. Is Bryce Young going to have them?
Well, you know, Thielen always pushes to play. He's had kind of chronic ankle issues, so he has a chance. Chark is probably out and probably ruled out already. Yes. On the final injury reports. So limited targets for Bryce Young.
Watson is out. Dobbs looks like he'll go. Do you think Kupp will end up on the IR? I got 20 seconds.
Well, when head coach Sean McVay said day-to-day, we said that's week-to-week at least, and now we're in the week-to-week category. So it is possible IR. We'll have to see.
There he is. Look at him, folks. I mean, I you got to show him again. Dr. Zhivago, a rock star on C2C in San Diego, fresh tan, making all that money, operating on people. See you next week, buddy. Good job.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, so I want to tell you about the first bet, $1,500 offer from BetMGM. Use the bonus code SG1500. It's for all new BetMGM account users. How do you get it? Download the app on iOS or Android in the Play Store. Visit BetMGM.com. Sign up, put $10 at least into your account. Get rolling. Place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Check BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. I know we're going to do football plays with Davis Lee Roth Maddock today from Fantasy Sports Today. Catch him tomorrow at 8 a.m. with Scoop Mish. He's on Coast to Coast every day here with Uncle Futrelli. I want to go back at the very least because, you know, you and I talk too much baseball to just completely blow it off today and do football. So I thought Castillo was a freak last night in Tampa.
He was. I mean, he was absolutely unbelievable. And that's the type of stuff that this time of season, those type of performances take on a larger magnification in September and October. Like, that's the type of stuff that we are going to remember. And I think you're right, man. I think we have done too much baseball chatter this season that, this late in the season with the teams, this Seattle and Tampa Bay, they are absolutely grinding to get these playoff spots. We can't just ignore that because we have football back on our TVs.
So the Buehler news today is they're not going to let him pitch this year. So he was rehabbing and he was pitching in the minors, right? And then now they're shutting him down and he'll pitch next year. What did you think when you saw that news?
I mean, I was surprised. I was like absolutely taken aback because this is a team that's dealing with all kinds of starting pitching issues right now. You're right. I mean, Urias, like, he's probably done. Maybe that's what's feeding into it. Maybe they're like, look, we don't have Julio Urias is going to be not eligible to play in Major League Baseball ever again. So we just lost part of our young starting pitcher group, and that's pretty brutal for them. So maybe they just want to ensure that Buehler is good to go next season. So I don't know, but it's not good for them this year, right? I mean, what is their pitching rotation when it gets to the playoffs? You have Kershaw, you have Lance Lynn. They're gonna be relying on a bunch of young dudes. You know, it's gonna be Emmett Sheehan. It's gonna be Miller. Like, you know, 24-year-old starting game fives on the road. Like, that's brutal.
Yeah, they're not going to win it because of that. That's going to be the end of them. Their problem is going to be the downfall is because of their injuries in their rotation and who they're having to use on the bump in the playoffs. Let me ask you this. Yesterday, Scoop Mish broke the story here on Sports Grid of Alcantara's forearm. Well, where I come from, that is connected to the elbow. So I'm wondering, what did you think of the news that he's going on IL, and do you believe that his lousy really year compared to last year, he has never been good this year. He's been average at best. He's obviously had something wrong with his arm, in my opinion, the whole year. And now it's come to a head like a zit. And I have to question whether or not he's going to have Tommy John.
I mean, generally speaking, when you get the forearm strain, that's the injury you get before you have the Tommy John surgery. Now, again, I mean, I don't know if that leads to it 100% of the time, but definitely it is a precursor. I don't know if he's been injured this entire time. Like, I know Alcantara, like, literally won NL Cy Young last year. He was, like, unbelievable. But he also is not, like, a high strikeout pitcher. And so guys like that, I mean, they can just go through runs where they're just getting super unlucky because if you put a ton of balls in play, sometimes those balls are going to turn into hits, where last year, like, basically none of them turned into hits. But it's a pretty brutal blow for the Miami Marlins because even, like, a C-minus Sandy Alcantara is better than a lot of the other starting pitchers going in the National League that they would have to face. Like, the Cincinnati Reds would kill for C minus Sandy Alcantara, I tell you that much.
So the Cubs are down 1-0 going to the bottom of the ninth at Wrigley to Arizona. Were you surprised they lost to them last night? As hot as they were, they have been cooled off last night and today, 1-0 going to the bottom of the ninth. They're having their problems with the D-backs all of a sudden.
Scotty, I have been waiting for the Cubs to skid to a grinding halt like this entire season. I really never prognosticated them, you know, charging ahead of the Cubs. And I mean, right now they're barely behind the Milwaukee Brewers. They are one win behind, they're two losses behind. I am a little bit surprised that it happened against Arizona. I would have figured that this would have happened in the Brewers or the Red series. So I'm a little bit surprised it happened against Arizona.
Do you think Blake Snell can shut down the Astros tonight at Minute Maid at +118? Or do you think they'll lose again because they suck?
I think they're going to lose again because they suck. And I think, I mean, the Astros, The Astros are just like, when you're the Padres and you're having this absolutely miserable season, and you're paying these guys all this money, that's not the team you want to play. You know, it's September. These dudes want to be watching college football. They want to be managing their fantasy football teams. Like, no one on the Padres cares about winning games right now.
How about Yuri Perez? Do you think he can beat the Phillies tonight in Philadelphia?
Yes, absolutely. I do. Yuri Perez, probably one of the stories of the season for me. I mean, he has been so freaking good for the Miami Marlins. 2.8 ERA, striking out 30% of opposing batters. I mean, this dude is only 20 years old. Like, I am all in on Yuri Perez.
All right, let's go to football. Davis Lee Roth Maddock with us. He loves baseball. He loves football. He loves gambling. He loves fantasy, beer, lakes in Michigan. He likes sailing, things of this nature. Let's start with Bijan Mustard and the Falcons at home against the Panthers. You got a prop for me there with Bijan Mustard?
Yeah, that's a flag plant spot for me this week. I think the Panthers are going to have a pretty tough time, at least to begin the season. You know, I am open to changing my mind as things going, but Thielen banged up. DJ Shark not going to play. I think we probably just see the Falcons cover the spread here. Probably, you know, 38 rushing attempts as a team, maybe more. I think they're just going to absolutely cram the ball down the throat of the Carolina Panthers. And I do really like Bijan Robinson to anytime score a touchdown. Doesn't mean Algier can't get one in there as well. But I think we are going to see like a pretty explosive debut from Robinson. I think he can crest 100 yards rushing in his debut. I'm really looking for the Falcons to kind of just run all over the Panthers.
What about Zay Jones?
Yep, this is another spot that I really like. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are really kind of like a marginal favorite on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have a completely reconfigured secondary. They're starting a bunch of like practice squad, USFL, XFL, backup. Like you would go look at this Indianapolis Colts secondary, you wouldn't be able to recognize any of them. Nice little dome game here. Also, I am anticipating Zay Jones is going to play in two wide receiver stuff ahead of Christian Kirk. I think Christian Kirk is going to rotate in as the third wide receiver. Obviously, doesn't mean Kirk is going to zero or anything like that, but I think the market just has the Jaguars receivers perhaps ordered incorrectly, expecting Zay Jones to play behind Christian Kirk. So I like the over on 35.5 receiving yards for Zay Jones quite a bit on BetMGM.
What about DJ Jazzy Jeff Moore?
All right, I do like DJ Moore, the player. I think he is really good. I do not like the situation that he finds himself in 2023 as a member of the Chicago Bears for accruing receiving statistics. The Chicago Bears last season attempted 384 passes. Pretty brutal. It's basically the least that any team has thrown in the modern era by a mile. To give you an idea, the Atlanta Falcons last season felt like the run heaviest team. They threw 70 more passes than the Falcons, and the Bears threw 100 less passes than the Tennessee Titans, who threw the 30th most passes in the NFL. It's a lot of numbers to basically say the Bears ain't running the football. The Bears aren't throwing the football. The Packers want to run the football. I think this game, Scotty, I think this game's going to be over in about 2 hours and 13 minutes, including halftime and commercial breaks. These teams are coming out. They're running the ball. They are not putting it in the air. So I like the under on DJ Moore's receiving yards.
And you like the under in the game?
Yes. Yeah, big time. I like the under in the game a lot there.
All right. What about DeAndre Swift now? He's got a new gig.
He does have a new gig. I got two that I like here. Basically, I just think that, again, like the Zay Jones thing, I just think the market kind of has these in the wrong order. I expect Swift to be the – I don't know if he'll play the most snaps or get the most rushes, but I expect him to be the most productive Philadelphia Eagles running back on Sunday. So we're taking DeAndre Swift over 32.5 rushing yards and a plus 210 anytime touchdown. I also think BetMGM had 49.5 rush plus receiving yards for Swift. I think you could toss that in there as well if you're looking to get a little bit risky. But Swift, I do really like on Sunday.
How many fantasy football teams do you have?
I mean, that's a dangerous question to ask me, Scotty. I mean, you know, my wife might be watching this channel. I got teams I have to manage, teams I have to go click the button and say, start this guy, sit this guy. I got like 20. If you're including the best ball ones where you don't have to do that, where it's just the computer does it all for you, I got like 800. So we're all in, man. We're trying to win $1 million, Scotty. We're trying to win $1 million.
I love that. I just want you to know I have none. I've never had one, ever.
Right about now, I'm jealous of you. Right about now, I'm pretty jealous of you, Scotty.
Well, I sweat out the spreads, I'll tell you that much, in college and pro. Have a great weekend, brother, man. I'll see you next week. Davis, Matt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. A couple things. One, the Cubs game, 1-0. Arizona won the game at Wrigley. Beat them last night 6-2. Beat them today 1-0. So far, not a good weekend for the Cubs against the D-backs. Secondly, Djokovic is killing this kid, Shelton, at the U.S. Open semifinal, destroying him. 3-2. They're in the third set. Shelton serving. He might get the first game. I don't think it's going to matter. One thing I wanted to ask you, have you ever wondered, because it's always bothered me. You notice every single time, the ball boy gives them three balls, brand new balls.
Right.
Brand new balls. And yet these guys have to, like, look at the balls and decide which two they want. Meanwhile, they're all brand new. It's always amazed me how tennis players have to feel the balls before they serve with the two of the three that are all brand new. Here's me when I played tennis my whole life. Give me the two balls. I don't need a ball boy. Let's go. I don't know anything. Have you ever seen anything like these guys are like playing, they're juggling the three balls and like deciding which one to use? That annoys the hell out of me. Like, they're all brand new. Just take two of them. Let's go.
I'll give you, I just thought of this while we were, and I think about this every year, but this is the first year I've had this idea. So Djokovic is going to win. He's going to play this guy Alcaraz again in probably a great final. And guess who's going to watch it, Scotty, on Sunday? Nobody, right? Because it's the first full Sunday of the NFL. I don't understand why the tennis people and ESPN, who carries the whole thing. Now, let me just pitch you an idea, and I think it's a good one. They play today. I mean, they've been playing these grueling 100-degree heat matches. Why not give them two extra days, wait till Tuesday night in primetime when there's no NFL games. Don't do it
You're
Sunday.
Right.
You got a billion NFL games on. You got the first Monday night game on Monday. And then you have all of that NFL coverage to push, say, a final like Tuesday night, primetime, ESPN, Djokovic, Alcaraz, 7 o'clock in New York. Nothing else is on. It'll have the stage to itself. Why do they not do that? Because it's a couple extra days. Why not just do that?
Why not have it's a great idea. And why not, on top of that, have the women play at 7 o'clock and the men at 9, and when they're done, and then they have the night all to themselves. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever, in your life, seen anything more fouled up and more pathetically handled than last night at that women's semi with Coco Graf, and how that protester stopped that match for an hour, glued himself to the seats and to the floor up in the upper deck? And I was like, I started tweeting, like, handle your shack. Like, are you kidding me? They don't have any cops and security to go in there. You know what I would have done? I would have been like, I'm in charge of flushing at a U.S. Open, and Arthur Edwards would have been like, get a machete out and cut his feet off and drag his ass out of here and put him in Rikers. I am so sick and tired of these people with their environment and ruining sporting events with all of their nonsense. And he glued himself to the stadium floor. I mean, stick his ass in jail for 6 months, and then let's see how the environment and fossil fuels smell when he gets out of Rikers. What an idiot. I cannot believe that I had to sit there last night for an hour and watch this guy take over the U.S. Open and ruin it for everybody there.
Nonsense.
I mean, I would have beaten that guy with a baton, and I don't care. Cops aren't allowed to touch anybody. My ass. Smack him down. Cut off his shoes and yank his ass out of there. That was ridiculous. What a joke that was. The U.S. Open Nonsense. Ruined by a bunch of people. Oh, save the earth. Save my ass. Go make out with a whale or something, you moron.
Awful job with that last night. And you're right. That's a bad job by me. I would do a doubleheader because sometimes the women's final is better than the men's final. I would do 5 o'clock Tuesday, the women's final, and then roll right into the men's final whenever it ends, whether that's 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Do the full doubleheader, both finals. What, are they all in a rush to get to wherever they go next? Where do they go after this? Cincinnati or Miami? Who cares where the next tennis tournament is? That's a chance to put your finals in prime time in a showcase instead of buried against college football and the NFL on Saturday and Sunday. Stupidity. And you wonder why no one watches or knows who these people are. It's just so dumb. All right, let's go here. Let's get to these NFL games, which we will be very interested in. I've only got 4 other ones that we didn't talk about yet. Here they go. The bottom, I guess, you know, listen, these games aren't as marquee as the others. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. This is actually gone now. I saw, Scotty, a 4.5 right now for Jacksonville. It's gone down to 4.5 in Indy against the Colts. Still 7 for the Washington football team, now known as, but won't always be known as, the Commanders. The Raiders are getting 3 in Denver against the Broncos. And then the Rams and the Seahawks also down now to 4.5 in that one from 5.5.
I want no part of that Washington game. I'm on Jacksonville all day, what they're going to do to the Colts. I'm on Denver and I'm on Seattle, laying the points in all of them.
There you go. All right. We did the touchdowns last night. We had 2. We got the Lion ones right. We weren't able to get the Chief ones, so we split the touchdowns. We did pretty good. On Sunday, here is what we're rocking with, Scotty, for the Carver High touchdown props. George Pickens and Pickett looked outstanding in the preseason. I think he finds the end zone against the Niners. Plus 180 for Pickens. Evan Ingram was a big target for Lawrence towards the end of last year. Let's roll that back in. Plus 170. Njoku for Watson. I like the price. Plus 250 for him in that one. TJ Hockenson. You just gave this guy a whole bunch of money, right? Why don't we throw him the ball down in the red zone at plus 190? And I'm on the other side of Davis here. He thinks that Swift is going to be the guy. There's a lot of running backs in that Eagle offense. I think it's going to be Kenneth Gainwell. And I'm going to play him for a touchdown at plus 260. And Daniel Jones Sunday night against the Cowboys at plus 180. The touchdowns for Sunday.
I think those are all brilliant. And particularly Gainwell. He constantly scores touchdowns for the Eagles inside the 5 in the red zone. I think those are brilliant plays. I love all of them.
One last look before the season. Real season did start last night. Before we get to the first full Sunday, here you go. Super Bowl odds. The Chiefs are still the favorite just after losing last night. I know you can't see him. That's everybody, Scotty. The whole list for you for the Super Bowl. Bills, Eagles at the top. The Niners, the Bengals, the Cowboys among the favorites for the Super
Bowl. Anyone but Kansas City after that barf festival last night. Anyone but them. I want to see them have the same thing happen week after week. I hope Jacksonville beats their ass.
And the MVP odds. I know I saved this for you from yesterday. Mahomes actually, I think he went from 6-1 to 7-1 after last night. So Mahomes now 7-1. Burrow is up there, of course. Allen, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson.
He's still favored when he loses, right? Like he loses and nothing happens to him. Like, so, you know, honestly, I'm sick and tired of that list. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Chiefs and Mahomes and MVP and Super Bowl and blah, 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 blah.
Joe Flacco thinks he can still play football. There's our laugh for the day. Congratulations, Joe. And
at least he got a ring.
Jerry Jones. He does have a ring. He did a great job for the Ravens that year. Court denies Jerry Jones' appeal in the sexual assault lawsuit. So Jerry's got a lot of things going on off the
Jerry's
football field.
Jerry's got his freak on.
Yes. Let's get to college football now. We have a lot of games to get through. There's one tonight in Lawrence. That's right, between Illinois and Kansas, -3.5 for the Jayhawks. This total is down to 56.5. Jalen Daniel is going to play, it sounds like, for Kansas tonight. He did not play last week. There you go, Scotty. -3.5 for Kansas.
Look, I think Bielma's done a good job there, right, at Illinois. But I bet Kansas this morning, can I get some love for once? If they're so great last year, they had a good year. And, you heard Morency, they're building something in Lawrence. Let's not forget. Let's be very clear here. I bet them. But it's a basketball school, and it always will be. They will never matter in football. Even when they're good, they don't matter.
No doubt. Big slate tomorrow on Saturday. Let me give you a couple of the heavies, and then we'll run through some other ones quickly. Nebraska and Colorado obviously has been a topic all week. I saw again today, it's bet more than any other NFL game on Sunday at the book, Scotty. Everybody's betting this Colorado-Nebraska game. -3 for the Buffaloes, total 58.5.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how many times I can say it. There is no way that you can slow down this kid, Shedeur Sanders, from scoring touchdowns. They're going to score points. I like Colorado, lay the 3 and the over.
You and Morency talked about Texas A&M and Miami tomorrow afternoon at Hard Rock, 3:30 East kick. This has actually gone down since then to 3.5. So Miami getting 3.5 now at home, the total of flat 51.
Yeah, I like the under here. I don't trust either team at all to bet on them.
Love the under as well. I think that is a great way. It was a dead under last year at College Station. I think it's a great way to play it. Game of the weekend is Texas and Alabama in Tuscaloosa. -7 for the Crimson Tide. 53.5 total down from earlier today. I think they absolutely work them, Scotty. 2-touchdown-plus win for Bama.
Yeah, no argument here. I'm on Alabama. I'm laying it.
All right, let's try to squeeze in as many of these as we can. We'll probably have to finish it at the top of the hour after you talk to Rich. Notre Dame is in Raleigh against NC State. That is a high noon East kickoff for them. Notre Dame laying the 7.5 on the load. Utah and Baylor. Baylor coming off the awful loss to Texas State at home. Purdue and Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. -3 for the Hokies. We also have Ole Miss and Tulane, a fun game down there in Nolens. 7.5 is the number. And Michigan, remember last week, Scotty, they laid heavy lumber at home, didn't cover against East Carolina. Heavy lumber again with the Rebs coming to the big house.
I think they turn it up this week from their opening, like, let's just take it easy on these guys and we'll have a Jim Harbaugh, free gym day celebratory type nonsense. I think they get down to business and blow out UNLV. I like Ole Miss. I'm not going anywhere near Purdue after I lost with them against Fresno. So thanks so much. Yeah, nice. I actually think Baylor with that 8.5 might be live based on them losing to Texas State last week, that they are at home in Waco, played terrible, lost outright, and now they got Utah in there. That game might be closer than 8.5. I like Utah to win. I'm not sure, but I may take the points of Baylor. And I actually think Notre Dame's going to have their problems in Raleigh. I think that the Wolfpack in 7.5 is probably a good bet.
I think Notre Dame wins, and they don't cover the 7.5. I'm with you on that one. And I saw it's going to be like $1.10 in Waco tomorrow. I mean, toasty for the Bears and the Utes in that sun kickoff in the early afternoon. So keep that in mind, too, for those guys.
So all right, how about come back. And yes, they're tired in that heat. No matter any way you slice it, they're going to be gassed and oxygen and cooling fans. I like the under.
I'm with you. I think the under might be a smart way to go. It's at 47 right now. All right, I've got more games for you later on. We'll do the Sharp Report. We got Rich Terminello. We will get all the college in, Scotty, I promise you, by the time that we leave here today.
God bless you, Carver High.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
let's hook up with the mad scientist himself. It's time for the Sharp Report on the Grid.
The Pittsburgh Steelers defense ranked 11th most efficient last year, despite facing the number two most difficult schedule of opposing offenses. And that's a consistent theme for the Steelers. Their schedule last year was absolutely brutal on both sides of the ball. And they had to play the vast majority of the season without TJ Watt. Even when he returned, he then got re-injured and played at less than 100%. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers, they played a super easy schedule. 29th easiest schedule of offenses, 31st easiest schedule of defenses. That allowed Brock Purdy to play at his best. Going up against the Steelers team, I do not anticipate that to be the case. In fact, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is the number one most efficient defense against passes thrown at or behind the line of scrimmage. And we know that's where Kyle Shanahan's offenses tend to like to work. 25% of pass attempts come at or behind the line of scrimmage. I think the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers need to attack the 49ers defense is to throw the ball deeper down the field. This is the number one pass defense against passes thrown within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, thanks to all the elite linebacker play that they get. But when you test the secondary deep, 15 plus yards down the field, the 49ers defense ranks 31st in the NFL against those passes. I think this game is going to be close and extremely competitive.
Wow, your boy, the mad scientist, Carver Eye. I think he's leaning Steelers. Are you?
I am leaning Steelers, but as I was telling you earlier, I think I'm just going to play the over. I'm not going to play a side. I think both teams will score in the low 20s. I think we'll get some points. That's how I'm looking.
Yeah, it's like that Miami A&M game. Like, it's so tenuous, so nerve-wracking to play either side that I think the under is just the play. I like your move on a total instead of risking it with either side. We got a lot more coming up on TNT, baby.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.